Well, praise God. You know, it's a beautiful day, and it's nice to see bright and shining faces, actually. And I praise God for that. Karen and I were reading the other day in John, and I really like John. And part of that is, you know, there's both, of course, there's the Gospel of John, and then there's the three epistles of John. And the thing I always liked about John is, you know, it seems to me his focus is really about love. You know, I mean, it's about love. It's about loving one another and doing the right thing. And I personally have a lot to learn about that. So I'd like to go to 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, I had to look up the word propitiation, and what that means is atonement. He's the atonement for our sins. He paid the price. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, what's the commandment of God? You know, what is the commandment that Jesus gave his disciples? The commandment is that you have love one for another. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, that's one commandment I haven't got a hold of yet. Because I think if I love anybody, I think I love myself more than I love others. Now, I'm sure I'm the oddball in the group. But one thing that we have to do is we have to love each other. Because it's all about love. Everything that Jesus did was about love. I mean, he came down from heaven. He died on the cross. He did it out of love. He did it out of that which was necessary for us. And if we're to love one another, we have to do that which is necessary for others. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, if we say we know Jesus Christ, and we cannot love, how can we claim to be of Jesus Christ? I mean, that's the whole point of him, was the love. You know, I mean, and if we're not willing to prefer others before ourselves, which, like I said, I'm still trying to get a handle on that, how can we say we believe him? You know, how can we say that we follow him because we're not going to be willing to go forth and do that which is right for others before ourselves? And I know in a daily basis I'm faced with that. Do I prefer my wife above myself, or do I prefer myself above my wife? Okay. Steve's shaking his head, so he's saying that I prefer myself above my wife. You know. And part of that love, I know, that I struggle with, is how do we show our love? We serve one another. We put others before ourselves. We serve them. You know, when you look at Jesus Christ and what he did, his whole purpose was to come down and show the love of the Father and to serve us, or to serve the Father and show us how we are to serve him. Now, everything in my nature or my flesh is contrary to that. But that's where... It's common to every one of us. But where I need to get to the point, and or we need to get to the point, is we need to prefer and to serve the Father and Jesus Christ and the others, regardless of what our flesh tells us we're to do. Now, I know that part of that service for me is, am I willing to get up early in the morning and pray? Frankly, sometimes that is not a very pleasant thing. I mean, I'm not a morning person. I'm a night owl. I'd rather stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and get up at noon than I than I would to get up at 5:30 in the morning and go to bed at 9:30. But, and I will say I fail at that often. But I know that for my service to the Lord is that I have to put that forward, because I know that if I don't start out my day in my prayer, seeking what the Lord wants me to do, my whole day is really kind of like a boat without a rudder. I just kind of drift around. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And what is that word? That we love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we love our neighbor as ourself. You know, that's the thing that you look out there in the world. It's lacking. Where's the love in the world? The love in the world out there says, oh, it's go do your own thing. Do what pleases you. Do what's, you know, feels good. Well, that's love of the world. That's love of the flesh. But that's only going to draw you away from God. That's only going to draw you away from Jesus Christ. And if you look at the whole world and you look at the messages preached, that's what's preached. That's why we see the love of man waxing cold. And we see the love of man diminishing because they love themselves. He that saith he abideth in him and ought, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Jesus walked in love. You know, I look at Jesus' ministry, and from what I can see is from the moment he woke up to the moment he went to sleep, he was serving. He was doing that which he was called to do. I look at my life, and boy, well, I don't want to look at my life. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which he had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Darkness is past. The darkness is past because now we know what the will and what the commandment of the Father is clearly. The light has come into the world. You know, if we go back to the beginning of John, or the Gospel according to John, you see the light has come into the world. We know the truth. We know his commandments directly. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. The only way we can have that light is through Jesus Christ, and to love. Let us therefore love and take the light of Christ and walk forth in that.
I want to hit on one word Charlie said. He said, being of Jesus Christ. Of. And I want to hit on that word of for a moment. What's it mean to be of someone? I have four children here, right? They are of me. See, one of the things is, guys, is that, look, that of Jesus Christ is that new man. The old man is not of Jesus Christ. Never can be, never will be. Never will be. If you're looking at your old man, you're looking at the wrong thing. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, what was that thing he wrote right over here right in the beginning? He said, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. Sounds good. And if any man sin, but wait a second, he just said sin, not. And if any man sin, because face it. Hello. We're going to sin. It's kind of like Davey's spaghetti sermon. Some of you may remember it from years ago during a tent revival. He's given the spaghetti sermon about how if you have a white shirt on and you eat spaghetti and you have a white shirt on, no matter how hard you try, and I'm a guy who sometimes has to try pretty hard at that because part of my uniform every day is about half the time it's a white shirt and then the other half the time it's like a light blue shirt. So for 5 days a week, I'm struggling with this thing if we ever have spaghetti. And the fact of the matter is, you get it on there. You just get it on there, just the way in which it is. So what's he say? And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Not Charlie the righteous. Not Kaylee the righteous. Not Steve the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous. You follow me? He is the righteous one. Praise God. And so he is the propitiation for our sins. All right, the atonement is totally different. But it also talks about how he casts those things as far as east is from west. Who cares about them anymore? Why do you? Why do you? See, we don't realize it. See, the issue that we hit there, and this is that pride that hits, because we want to look good to everybody else. We want people to be mighty impressed with us. Isn't that what it really comes down to? It had nothing to do with God. I mean, nothing to do with God. I mean, zero, zilcho, nada. We convince ourselves in our own mind it does. I just want to serve, you know, I just want to do. You know. It has nothing to do with him. Because that's why he died on the cross for us, because he knows what we are. See, we're the ones who forget and try to pretend like we're something we're not. Right? Isn't that what it comes down to? We're the ones pretending over here. And the biggest problem is we believe ourselves in that lie all too often. And therefore we give our old man and our sin, you know, our sin, just such overwhelming power. I mean, what did he say here? And he is the propitiation for our sins. Praise God. What do we got here? Okay, not quite two handfuls. That's not a lot of sin, okay? I can imagine a God taking away this group's sin. I mean, sometimes it's a bit of a tall order, mind you. But, I mean, but basically, I mean, I can imagine a big God being able to take this group's sin away. All right, I just want to tell you. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Whoa. Wait a second. I don't know about you, but the world is an unbelievably nasty place. I mean, an unbelievably nasty place. I mean, I hardly ever watch the news, mind you, folks, but I kind of skip through and hit a couple things every once in a while. So we got ISIS over there cutting children's heads off and killing people and doing all these things. We got some guy in the North Country over in New York he and his wife kidnapped two Amish children. I mean, we got stuff going on that isn't kosher. If I just told you what I know what's going on in this community here, I won't, because it would be to divulge confidential information. But let me just tell you, some of the stuff is like sandbox and kindergarten. The Amish being kidnapped by those people seems pretty light relative to some of the things happening within a couple blocks of my house right here. All right, you have no idea what goes on out here and the things that are going on. And it can be pretty disheartening looking at it sometimes and thinking, how can this ever change? How can it ever change? And you know what? When we think that, you know what we do? We justify ourselves in not doing anything, man, because that task is just way too big. Right? Nobody cares.
nobody wants to hear. Nobody listens.
Right? Anybody have these kinds of thoughts ever? I mean, just ever. Ever touch your mind? I mean, ever just have to, like, swing by and slow down long enough for you to see what they're saying? You follow what I'm saying? And that's a lie! Because Jesus Christ died for all the sins of the world. The thing is they don't know it. They don't know it. People don't know it. And how are people going to know it? Unless those who do know it manifest it unto them. Man, instead of trying to be all prettied up and look some part and be a liar. Right? Which means that people, when they look at you, they think, first of all, people who have any eyes to see don't want to be like you. And the people who do have eyes to see think, man, no matter how hard I try, I can't be like them. So either way, you alienate people. But see, by contrast, when you know who you are, and I'm talking here for a moment, when you know who you are by nature, in which you recognize that you're no better than anybody else, and you know who Jesus is, and that new man that is created of Him, not of mom and dad, but of Him. That's why it's called born again. That should be born of the water, the blood, the spirit. Right? Must you be born of these things? Right? That born is of that new man. The old man's still the same. When you can get past yourself and your nature that way, your carnal nature, and instead walk, what did it say down here? He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Right? Ought to walk himself even as also so to walk even as he walked. Right? We can do that. Our new man can do that. Our new man came from God. Okay? The same God by which Jesus did those things. That same God has given us a new life. And that new life, that soul, that spirit, that perfect body called the body of Jesus Christ. All of those things are created to do just as Jesus did. That's what they are. They're created to do just as He did. By nature, they do what He did. By nature. It's not hard for them to do as the Father says. Not hard at all. Because they're not corrupt. They weren't sold under sin. And so do you believe? I mean, do you really believe? Were you baptized in the blood of the Lamb? Receiving forgiveness for your sins? Were you baptized in water? Where you were separated from your old man? You died unto your old man and trusting in the operation of God are now alive in Christ Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father, having access to all the things of the kingdom of God continuously? Were you baptized in the Spirit of God, that dunamis spirit that, unlike all the fuel sources we have out here that run out, you know, you got to go back to the gas station, that break down, that all of these different things never runs out, just continuously is there operating in its power and giving you the will to do His will and all of the things. Do you believe this? If you believe this, let us walk in this. Now, how do we do that? You know, it's interesting here when you looked at verse 6. He that saith he abideth in Him. All right, so this is if you're going to testify that you're Christian, you're of Christ and stuff like that, then you ought to walk even as Christ walked, right? Well, over in, we've been going through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and you mentioned, Charlie, John and John 17 is the chapter that goes through this. The promise of God is that we can do just that. We can walk as he walked. In John 17, he makes it clear, first of all, that those 11 that he had called, those 11 apostles of the Lamb, the one being the 12, the one being lost being Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled, the son of perdition, the other 11 were one with him. And he said, if you would believe their word, you would be, he prayed that you would be one with him and his father as well, right? We read over in Thessalonians over the last number of Tuesday night men's Bible studies. We went through and saw a body of Christ, a church, literally, that was forged in much opposition that did just that. They were one with God the Father, and they were one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were known for their love, and they were known by the fact that they did the works of God. Just they manifested his word unto the people out here. That's what they did. They manifested it. All right? Now, we just finished Philippians. And in Philippians, we found a church that the same missionary trip Paul made through. He hit Philippi before he got to Thessalonica. Philippi, he gets thrown out by people because he'd cast the devil out of that damsel who had the spirit of divination. Gets thrown into jail. Earthquake. Prison doors open. Jailer gets saved. And they come and they want him. They just say, look, just leave our town. Paul, after saying goodbye to everybody, left the town. And then he goes to Thessalonica, where he gets run out of town by the Jews in the synagogue. So much so when he goes to Berea, where the Jews of that synagogue received him, the people of Thessalonica traveled over to Berea to get rid of him there. Okay? Same missionary journey, same message, same spirit, same everything. In Philippi, they had a problem. And so you see over in Philippi, Paul talking about, be ye followers of me. Be ye followers of me, he says. Be ye followers of me. And he's saying this because there are many people who were the enemies of Christ who said they were Christians who were turning the Philippians out of the way. And he accepted that responsibility of be ye followers of me. Now I want to read something. We all know in the Corinthian church, turn to 1 Corinthians 4. I'm going to go over there. We all know that in the Corinthian church, boy, did they have some problems. Now, mind you, in the Corinthian church, Paul spent 3 years there, I think it was, because the Lord showed him that he had many people in that city. And in the Corinthian church, there were many. And I'm going to start from verse 1 and go through these, I think, relatively quickly. I'm ultimately wanting to get down to 16, where Paul basically tells them the same thing. It says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And here he's talking about himself and the other apostles, because it's to the apostles and prophets that the mysteries of God are given to. He says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, God entrusted them with that word, and they were expected to keep it as it was given to them. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no man of you be puffed up for one against another. Now, it's an interesting thing. He's about ready to come down to a verse that's going to say, be ye followers of me. And what does he say up here? He says that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. See, where are you going to put your faith? If you put your faith in God, And we know that God has a kingdom, and we know, look, if there's a person here who does not know yet that the mysteries of God are given unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit and think they're given to you, you're mistaken. You are mistaken. Now, you may have received those mysteries from an apostle or prophet, or you may have received that baptism of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the hands of an apostle. And when you pray in the Spirit with the interpretation of that, you can speak the mysteries of God. But all of it came down because you received an apostle of the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? It all came from that. Megan asked me years ago when we were about ready to get married, she'd come over here. And that time I tell about periodically where Davey called when we were down there in Cornish or what have you. And I leapt up from the table, we were having a cup of coffee, went out to him, didn't say goodbye, came back several hours later. And her question was, is it always going to be like this? And I told her, yes. And she said, well, I thought it was service to God first, then your family. I said, well, it is, but part of my service to God first is my service to my authority. How many of you think that way? How many of you think of the unbelievable privilege that has been extended unto you? I mean, you can go out here. People can go out here. You can go to any other church here. You know, every single one of you listening on to this meeting right now, even if you're over in Africa, I don't care where you are, every single person listening knows they've heard the word in a manner here they've never heard anywhere else. Period. End of story. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Every single person hearing this knows that's the case. And if it's not the case, then what are you doing here? But if it is the case, then why do you completely disrespect the ones by which that word has come to you? You know how you disrespect? You don't do what you're told. You have a better idea. You want me to show you why you do it? We're going to go through here and see some things about these guys after the natural. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Yeah, so if it was a gift, what are you going to go, hey, man, I'm awesome. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? That's what I was just saying. Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. Everybody doing their own thing. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Now you understand why people don't listen. Because with your natural man, the apostles don't edify anything. You see that? They don't edify anything. I mean, think of it. The apostles, they're working with their own hands. You can turn on television set pretty much in any country around the world where there's any Christian population at all. You can go over to Africa and see it in Kenya or see it over in Ghana. You can go to this country and go to these different places. I guarantee you on Sunday you're going to see guys who don't fit this description at all, but people esteem them as though they're something. And they're lying to the people feeding them poison. And the people love it. But the people love it in ignorance. Because they have no idea what the gospel is really all about. They have no idea. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. All right, here we see a second witness. There's actually a third witness of the exact same words. Be ye followers of me. By two or three witnesses shall anything be established. You see it with Paul at least three times where he makes that point. And he goes, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Yet not altogether, right? No, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So watch that. The reason why you're to be a follower of him is because his ways are in Christ. If you want to learn to walk in Christ, you've got to follow those who do. And if you justify yourself and not, whose fault is that? But people are going to speak of you. Be your own man. You got to be your own man. You got to be all these different things. Man, you can't let that person exercise that kind of control over you. That doesn't say anything about control, does it? Be ye followers of me, or else I'll kill you. Is that what it says? Be ye followers of me, or I cut your head off. Be ye followers of me, or I tax you till you lose everything. Be ye no, it doesn't say anything of that. This is a decision, an act of faith in Christ Jesus, that if you're going to say you're his, you're going to have to do. And if you don't do it, what's it say? They rejected you. Why? This is speaking of the apostles. Because they've rejected me. If they've received you, it's because they've received me. Right? That's how simple it comes down. Now, you notice here that Timothy, by contrast, was one who was a beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance. In other words, they'd forgotten my ways which be in Christ. It had become, the church was corrupt. It was corrupt. And Paul was sending Timotheus to them so they would have an example they could once again follow. Now, turn to Romans chapter 12. I want to show you something. We're talking about here that gospel. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's urging them. He's, come on, guys. By the mercies of God. Now, I want to focus on that for a moment. Do we need his mercy right now? I mean, are we guilty of not doing this that I've just been talking about? If you're guilty of not doing this, then what? You need mercy. You need mercy. Praise God, you've got it if you want it. You've got it if you want it. You can use all the stupid, idiotic things of the past to hang on to justify yourself and not going forward in the freedom that the Lord's given us. Or you can gladly receive it, that mercy of God, and go forward. I mean, you can gladly receive it right now. You can walk out this door today. Free. Free of condemnation. A fresh start. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wow. All I got to do is give my reasonable service? I don't have to give more? I remember when we were first looking at going out to Texas, Megan and I, Megan had this little concern about us going out to Texas. If you remember, before we got married, Davey called and I went running out. Then we're going out to Texas. And every time we've been out to Texas to that point, Megan pretty much never saw me except for maybe at a meal. So Megan had this misgiving, which was, we're going to move out to Texas and I'm never going to see my husband again. Is that pretty much about where it was? I mean, don't mind. I mean, when her eyelids were closed and she was lying, I was lying in bed next to her, she'd see me. I'd be up before, I mean, she wouldn't see me, she'd be near me. I'd wake up before her and she wouldn't see me. She'd see me at some mealtime, praise God. But other than that, she wasn't going to see me. And I remember telling her, I said, look, love, the Lord knows that I am a married man, right? And he is not going to have me do things that are going to prevent me from fulfilling my role as your husband. Remember? See, because he only asks my reasonable service. He's not going to take me away where I cannot do my reasonable service as a, fulfilling my role as a father. You follow what I'm saying? You've even seen and known and come to see that if I get exhausted, which sometimes I do, happens at times, I get too tired or things like that, seeking to do too much because I'm so daggone important. But the fact of the matter is, like everybody else, I got my struggles on different things. Pride is one of those things that's ugly, but it sure seems nice when you're hugging up to it. It's hard to imagine a bedfellow that's any better than pride. So it's so tantalizing to yield to it. But you've seen how the Lord will give me rest. He will provide. The Lord provides all my needs. All right, and he asks my reasonable service. But I have to let that old guy go. That's the living sacrifice. This guy's still walking around here, right? Walking, doing all the different things. But you don't yield unto him. You don't yield unto him. That doesn't mean you never eat again. Okay, that's that will worship and all that other stuff where people try to make this look holy in a different way. He knows you have need of some stuff, so he'll take care of it, that you can have need of those things. All right, don't worry about it. All right? But you don't have to seek after those things. You don't have to run after those things because he already knows you have need of those things. You'd run after serving him. It goes on, and be not conformed to this world. And again, that's both, you know, we're missing something because you know, everybody else is out here doing something, but it's also, I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. I want to be all these things where you want to be something so everybody can look at you and think, wow, look at that person and everything. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove, watch this, that ye may prove. I want you to see what you're going to prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Remember, be followers of me. Are you going to tell me that Paul did not manifest to the Corinthians what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You think he did that to the Thessalonians, to the Philippians, to Peter, to everybody he came into contact with? I must say he did. He manifests that. And if you follow him, you will manifest it too. Now, if we are doing that, and we know that he died for all the sins of the world, then what's too tall about taking that message out here and seeing that life-transforming power touch others? We can do that. See, when you're manifesting what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, I should have probably said it this way. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? I mean, he only did the will of his Father. And isn't that what it then means when it says, over there in John, where you were reading, Charlie, where it said, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That ye may prove. Now look, when you see it that way, and you on the other hand think not more about man than you ought to think, you can come on up, Karen, we're going to have you guys sing. And you realize your own struggles and how hard you see, how big of a struggle you seem to have doing this. Well, first of all, now you're going to lift those people who are in authority up in prayer a lot more, aren't you? Because as you're trying to do that, and like, you're going to lift them up in prayer because you realize, man, I don't know how they freaking do that, man, because this seems like next to impossible. Right? You're going to do that. And second of all, you're going to then just thank God that since you're such a dimwit, you can't do it without an example right before you, that he gives you one.
Amen.
And you'll listen to and do what they say. Right? And you'll have respect unto them. You will esteem them greatly. And when that happens, you'll start seeing things take off as people go forward in that. And you'll start seeing that Word of God manifested.